Talked about killing time, because that's what a lot of people do. They're just killing time. A.W. Tozer said, just remember this, if you're killing time, it has no resurrection. There's your hashtag. There's your tweet, your Facebook post. It has no resurrection. What are you going to do with time? People are killing time. We're just wasting time. You know what's amazing? I think people are waiting for God to do something. We live in a world, I hear people all the time say that to me, Pastor, why doesn't God do something? You know what's amazing to me? Everybody says we're waiting for God to do something amazing. Funny thing, God is waiting for you to do something amazing. It's true. God's waiting for us. I heard a story when I lived in Oklahoma, 1 year in college, right after my wife and I got married, we had a flood. The Caney River flooded. It was incredible. It was a mile wide, the flood coming down from Kansas. When it hit our city, it split our city in half. Our river rose 22 feet above flood stage. That's where it crested. In fact, I have a photograph when we were first married of the Ace Hardware floating down the street as houses and businesses were just wiped out. 22 feet of water. And my father-in-law, we drove around. We said, hey, can we help you? Can we help you? We drove all over. People were just sitting waiting. No. One guy sitting in his lawn chair had his beer. He says, no, I'm good. Lived right on the river. Don't know what happened to him. I heard a story of one guy who the floods were coming and an SUV showed up. Said, hey, come on, let me load you up. Let me get you out of here. And the guy says, no, I'm a Christian. I'm waiting for God. I'm trusting God. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm a Christian. Several hours went by and the water rose up and he got up on his porch and a boat came by. Said, hey, jump in. We're here to rescue you. And when the boat came by, he said, no. I'm a Christian. I trust God. You can go. God's going to rescue me. Well, pretty soon the waters got higher and higher and higher, and 22 feet. And he got up, climbed out on his rooftop next to his chimney. And while he was sitting next to the chimney, a helicopter came up and said, hey, we're going to lower down a ladder. Come on. He says, no. I'm a Christian. I'm waiting for God. He drowned. He died. He went up to heaven. He was a Christian. He got up there. He said, God, I don't understand. I'm a Christian. I was waiting for you to save me. I trusted you. And God said, I sent you a car, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. What were you thinking? We're all sitting around waiting for God. Can I tell you, God is already here. He's waiting for you. And that's what our text is today, killing time. It says, redeem the time. Wake up, O sleeping giant. Wake up. But you know what happens is? Here's what happens is we're all waiting for God to do something. And you know what? So many of us are sleeping in our faith. We're just scared of what might happen. Oh, yeah, you think this is bad for you? I see all your cameras getting out now. Stop. You can all just stop right now. Because many of us don't want to do this. Because you know what we do? Shut that off. There is nothing to see here. Wow, what a different perspective. My palms are sweating. And trust me, my heart is racing at about 100 miles an hour. But wait, this isn't how most Christians live their lives. Most Christians want to be asleep. You know what? Because here it is. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what might happen. I'm too old to be up here, so I'm not going to. I can't balance my life. You don't understand my life. You're right, I don't understand your life. But the problem is, most people, rather than living this incredible, intense, awesome life, say, it's such a balancing act that, you know what, God, I just rather play it safe. If that's all right with you, God, I just like to play it safe. And so we get into a different position with God. We're like, God, I would just rather play it safe. And so for many people, This is their routine. This is the routine of many Christians because, you know what, God? You know what? It's just safe here. I just want to have a nice family. And we're gonna live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool all my kids. I'm going to make them wear helmets wherever they go. And they can't go outside and play because there's the sun and it has bad rays. And I just want to be safe. And we just want to hold on for dear life. And so many people are just holding on for dear life. This is their life. The time God's given us, and I'm just, is it over? Now, this could be the Christian posture. I'll go to church and sit in a chair, comfortable chair, cushion chair. And I'll get involved in a ministry, but not the nursery. Have you seen those kids? Maybe the youth. No, not the youth. No way. And we live this life, just holding on. Just holding on. And our deepest prayer, our greatest prayer is, oh God, please let me die when I'm sleeping. I don't want to die in any way. Oh, and let it be painless. In fact, God, if I could die while I'm asleep, can I be dreaming about dying while I'm sleeping and I'm dreaming and then I die and I'm in heaven and we get to heaven and we're like, and that's the way we live. Could you imagine a gymnast, a girl on here, and she's in a meet, and that's all she does is she's just holding on for dear life. She doesn't do anything, and then she gets done, and she goes, what are the judges supposed to do with the scorecard? And yet, as Christians, we hold on for dear life, and that's our Christianity, and people wonder, wow, and we get before the judge, and we go, what's God supposed to do? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, what's God supposed to do with this? And we hold on for dear life, and we just waste time. I'm just trying to get through, God. Please, God, I'm just going to waste my time, and I'm just going to hold on for dear life, but please, whatever you do, don't get up here. And Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and says, can I tell you, don't waste your time. If that's all that Christianity is, you know what? Can I honestly tell you, it's not worth it. That's not why Christ died, so that you can sit in a pew bored out of your mind. The average person in America, you say, why don't you go to church? They all have the same answer. The average person in Germany when I was there, I asked them, I said, why don't you go to church? They had the same answer. Nicaragua, they had the same answer. It's the same answer all over the world. We don't go to church because church is
boring.
You all know the answer, and we didn't even practice because we're just holding on for dear life. And I see Christians, and I go, that's it? That's it? That's not it. That's not what God trained us to do. God trained us to do something a little more exciting. Why does this thing wobble? Oh. You're welcome. So God says, how about something more? And in verse 14, he says to you and me, sitting in the church, right? This is noisy. Thought it was going to be a lot easier than this. Somebody told me it would be easier. Never done this before. I practiced for 15 minutes. And then I practice this. Watch this one. Wait a minute. And right now, my doctor's like, you need to get down. My heart is going probably about 100 beats per minute. My palms are sweating. My feet are actually sweating. Because you know what? I can't really look at you because it changes my balance. And you know what? To be honest with you, as a Christian, I don't want to look at you Because it changes my balance. I want to look at God. I want to keep my eyes on the prize. Because see, if I start comparing my Christianity to you, we all stumble and we all fall. But if I keep my eyes on the only one that matters, and that's the judge, then you know what? I'm not worried about what you do or don't do on this beam. But here it is. Wake up. Can I tell you, when I got up here, this woke me up. Oh, sleeping giant. Why are we asleep in our pews? Because it's so much safer down there. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how safe it is. If you're not willing to do the things of God, you are not experiencing the adrenaline which is shot through my entire body a whole lot. Why not? Why not get into a place? See, Christianity was never meant to be lived in a boat. Jesus looked at Peter and says, guys, why are you in there? They said, because it's safe. He said, why are you in there? You're not even good fishermen. You guys have never caught a fish without me. Quit calling yourself fishermen. How about being a Christian? Get out of the boat, and God invites you and I to a place that you go, I've never done this before. I've never trained for this. I'm too old. What if I fall? What if I stumble? What if I drown? And God says, welcome to Christianity. What if I drown? What if I stumble? What an incredible place to be. You know what? This ought to be the life of every true believer. A place that says, I am sweating. My heart is racing. I've never done this before, but I want to do it again. That's what I want in my life. Christ, when he died for me, I had the party of the world. I had the drugs. I had the alcohol. I had all that there was that the world had to offer. I mean, I was living it as a pre-law student at a university, spending all the money, partying with all the top people, being an athlete, doing all the things that the world says to do. And I had no peace in my life. And I didn't have any reason to give my life to God to stand up on something like this. But I did. And when God saved me, I walked into a church and I saw a bunch of Christians, maybe 40 blue hairs in this church. You can explain that to your neighbor. They were all so old, and they just sprayed their hair blue, and everybody was dying or dead, and I was the only person under the age of 70. I walked into my first church, and I said, I'm here, I'm saved, and I saw a bunch of people grabbing a hold of, waiting for life to be over so that they could do this. And I didn't want to do this. I was still living. I wanted to do this. And so I got on the beam. And I'll tell you, Christ didn't die for me to sit in a pew. Christ died so I could walk on water. That's what he died for. He died not so that I could watch the people around me sick and say, well, I'm thinking about you. No, I'm not thinking thoughts. I'm praying to a holy, awesome God that raises the dead. That's what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, I got into a place that said, I'm probably going to fall. I'm probably going to break my leg, and I know all your cameras are a little disappointed right now. But trust me, after 30 years of doing this, I've broken my legs. I've broken my arm. I've broken my back. I've broken my bank account. I've broken my kid's heart. I've broken my wife's heart. I have failed more times than you could ever dream or imagine. And yet, God puts me right back up on the beam and says, let's go again. And you know what? I'm not afraid to get up there because he woke me up. Wake up, oh sleeping giant. Rise from your sleep. And that's what I did. I got up out of my sleep. Some of you right now are so dead to sleep that right now some of these words aren't even hitting you. Your parents have been praying for you. Your spouse has been praying for you. Some of your friends brought you to church today, and you don't even know what this beam is all about. And so you don't understand what they're talking about when their palms are sweating or the bottom of their feet literally has sweat pouring off them. They're going, I don't understand that. I know you don't understand it. You can't understand it sitting in the boat of doubt until you get into the waves of trust. You've got to get out of one place and into another. And Christianity was never meant to be safe. If anybody told you being a Christian was safe, welcome to the most dangerous thing you've ever done in your life. Give your life wholeheartedly to God and see what he does with you. And that's what I've been doing. Wake up. There's a thing called a cicada. A cicada is like a gigantic cockroach. It's a giant grass. It's neither one. It's a cicada. And at night, when we lived in Alabama, you can hear them. In fact, you can't sleep with your windows open during certain times of year because they're so loud. They make the most high-pitched noise you could ever, and just thousands of them. And when we were in Alabama, I didn't realize this, but there's these certain ones that when they're born, they burrow. The first day, they burrow down into the ground. They live in the ground for the next 14 to 17 years, about 2 feet down. And I thought, well, what a waste of a life. And I thought about that. How many Christians, man, the minute they're born into Christ, they're born into the church, they're born into God through baptism and faith, all of a sudden they get there and they're like, you know what? I'm just gonna burrow myself down about as far down as I can. I'm going to sit there for 14 to 17 years. I've done nothing. But then here's the cool part. After about 17 years, and it happens here in Michigan once a year, and it happens in mid-July, about every 17 years these things will do it. They come out and just absolutely invade the planet. And they go crazy. And they only live for 2 weeks and then they're dead. They come out of the ground, they go crazy, they're everywhere. Everybody goes, look at this. It's just an invasion. All the trees, all the houses, the tennis courts are just flooded with them. The streets, you're running and crunching them after 2 weeks. They just go crazy. And in those 2 weeks, they only do one thing. They reproduce to make sure there's another generation after they're gone. The least we could do is to rise up out of our sleep and make sure there's going to be another generation of people who know Jesus Christ. The least we could do is reproduce the love of God that says Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. Every one of you, at least rise up from your sleep and share the love of God with a human being. That's the least we could do. Then he says this. He says this, let's redeem the time. Redeem the time. In verse 16 is where we find this. I said in first service it was verse 15, but it's in verse 16. It says, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. You see that? It's in your Bible. It's an awesome place. What does that mean, make the most? The actual word there isn't make the most. It's in the Greek, and it says redeem. And I thought, well, what does it mean to redeem? So I looked it up. It's exagiazo. That's a Greek word. Ex meaning from out of. Agiazo means to purchase. Redeem time. Purchase out of something time. Well, it's used in a term of slavery. It means to purchase out of slavery. And I thought, why would we need to purchase time out of slavery? Because the word time is keros. Now, I wear a watch. I have about three of these things. I got my sport watch, I got my dress watch, and I got my medium watch. I wear these watches because my wife tells me, you are late for everything. So I don't know why I have three watches. They're all broken. They're never on time. I even set my watch 4 minutes fast. Some of you are like that, right? Some of you right in here are like that. Some of you in here, your husbands or your wives are like that. I am chronically buying broken watches and always late. I don't understand. My watch must not work. We live in a world that this is our tether. You might as well put it around your ankle. You're late for this. You got to be here. 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 When I went to Nicaragua, they didn't have to be anywhere in Latin America and South America. They're like, you Americans. You go to Germany, they're like, you guys work way too much. In France, they're like, we work like 25 hours a week and we call it quits. You guys work 40 and don't think that's enough. Then you work 60 and you're like, oh, finally getting ahead. And just, we went down to a mission trip in Nicaragua. We got to the work site, 8 a.m., ready to go. We got there and the pastor and the people there never showed up. We're waiting for our lumber so we could build a school. 9 a.m. Man, they are really late. Did they forget? Somebody should call him. 10 a.m. Nobody. 11 a.m. Here comes this truck. We're like, oh, here they come. Hey, muchas gracias. And I'm thinking, where have you been? We've been here waiting for 3 hours. They have no time. There's no time concept. We said we'd work today. It's still today. I'm like, all right, we got our tools, we got our kids, where's the lumber? Oh, I haven't bought the lumber yet. You guys go get the lumber. Here, threw me the keys. I'm like, what? Where's the lumber? Juan's going with you. Juan doesn't speak any English. I don't speak any Spanish. We're driving along. And all of a sudden a song comes on. We both understand it. I look at Juan. I go, yeah, chilling like a villain. And he looks at me. He goes, gelling like a felon. I said, we are communicating here. That's the only thing I know about Juan, is he's chilling like a villain and I'm gelling like a felon. We get to the lumber yard. We get in line. We have a whole list of things. We hand it to him. They're like, oh, see, yeah, okay. An hour later, we're still standing there at the counter. Finally, somebody comes over. Come on, come, come. And they get us. They get us loaded up. By 1 o'clock, we get back. I'm thinking, this is the way it works. It's 1 in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, let's get to work. No, siesta. We sleep now. Oh, we take a break. You work too hard. I'm moving to Nicaragua. Right? Some of you are right going, that's ingenuity right there. Of course, they don't get anything done. Some of us are so gripped by this to take out of, to purchase out of. It doesn't say to purchase out of 8 o'clock. It's not about time or a minute or an hour. He didn't say redeem this time so that you do something in a moment. That's not what he's talking about. He says you need to purchase out of, and the word time means a season. Let me explain it to you this way. I was thinking about it last night. I finally came up with a way to explain to you how we need to redeem the time. My dad farms. We've been farming since 79, and it was really neat to go there to see our first harvest. We planted all this incredible wheat. It was just awesome. And in South Dakota, you can just, by August, mid-August, you have these golden grains and just fields and fields of golden grains. No trees. You could see as far as the eye, 20 miles in every direction. You could just see grain on these hills. And as the waves of the wind would blow it, those giant heads that are just full on those stalks of golden grain would just bow down, and it would follow the sun as it went from the east to the west. And when the wind would blow, you could just watch them dance as gigantic waves would go through the fields. And my dad would say, it's time. It's a season. We need to redeem, purchase from out of this season. If we miss this, we lose it all. That's what he's saying. See, we harvest a season. We can't go do that in June. It's not ready in June. We can't do it in February. It's snow. You can only do it in a season. And he says, redeem the time. There are seasons in your life that you will never get back. And if you miss it, you lost out on everything. Let me explain it to you this way. Some of you have children. You need to redeem, purchase out of slavery this time that you're losing. This time that we're losing. Who's got a phone? I know you guys got phones. Throw me a phone. This time that you're losing, and you sit in dinner with your kids, and you do this, and your kids are just, how was your day? How was your day? Hold on, I'm texting you back how my day was. Send. Ding. Oh, my day was fine. Thank you for asking. Any other questions? What? He said, redeem the time, because the next part of that verse says, because the days are evil. See, time is not neutral on the middle of a tug-of-war rope. You're on one end pulling it, and the devil's on the other end pulling it, and you're both hoping to win it. That's not what it says here. The days are evil. Time is not neutral. Time is in enemy territory. You are losing it. And it says you got to go in there and purchase it out of that slavery. You got to get it back. And so with your children, you're only going to get so many moments. And so when your daughter comes to you and says, hey, I have this going on a Monday night. You said, well, you know, I have a board meeting on Monday night. It's the second Monday of the month, and I have to be at that. I'm sorry, I won't be at your meeting. No. I can tell my board, you know what? That's a moment in time. We could do Tuesday. We could do Wednesday. We could do Friday. My daughter has a moment. I'm not going to miss that moment. I'm going to redeem that. I'm going to purchase that. So I'm out here, and I'm in right here, and that's exactly what happens. You need to purchase. You will never get those moments back. So let me encourage you. Deuteronomy tells us this. Moses told us 4,000 years ago in Deuteronomy chapter 11, he says, I want you to redeem the time. There are moments in your kids' lives. There's moments in God's life. And he says this, fix these words on your hearts. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. And here it is, teach your children. Talk to them. When? When you sit at home. I can't talk to my kids when I sit home. We don't get those moments. And once in a while, your daughter or your son puts that down and they go, hey, Dad, can we talk? You better grab that moment. You better seize, redeem that time. It's about to pass. When you walk along the road, when you're in the car and they finally set down things, shut the music off. You know what? In the morning, when you get up, when you lie down and when you get up, listen, at breakfast, try this for breakfast. Don't turn the news on. Well, I got to turn the news on first thing in the day because I got to get the weather. Trust me, the weather's going to be the weather whether they're right or not. And the weather's not going to change because you saw that the weather forecast was what it was. That makes no difference to you. It'll still be the same weather whether you watch it or not. So shut it off. Make some eggs, have some cereal, grab yourself some Captain Crunch or some Trix. They're for kids. Sit down and say, I just want you to know I love you. And you will do what only a few Americans do anymore. You will have a meal and a conversation at a table. And all of a sudden, you're redeeming time. Do that with a spouse. Do that with a friend. Hey, with your friend, instead of going and sitting down at Applebee's or B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, and you sit down and you go, okay, here we go. Man, I'm so glad we could hang out today. You're not redeeming time. It's going to get ripped off from you if you're going there to really to say to your friend, man, I'm just wanting to get together and just hang out and catch up with you. You're not going to do a whole lot of catching up in B-Dubs. There are 48 television screens with every dream that every man ever had of any sport that's ever existed. And if that's not enough, there's a little box called trivia to prove that you're not smarter than most of the people in that room at that moment. And then, if that's not enough, walk in there and everyone around the table has their information superhighway open and they can be interrupted at any moment by someone who's not even sitting at the table. Redeem it. You need to steal that back. You know what? Shut it down. Our rule is when they get stacked, whoever grabs it first pays for the meal. Don't understand because I'm always paying for the meal anyway. But the point being, I'm going to redeem those times. I'm going to steal that time back because that's what God wants me to do. My Christianity is God's time. And God's timing is perfect. I want to close with this. Some of us have gotten into a pretty safe place, haven't we? I tried one more trick I want to show you guys. I practiced a 360 flip dismount. All week long, I'm on medication right now. And I want to go ahead and I've been working on this. You'll want your phones. You got to be kidding me. This is not going to happen. Some of us have not practiced anything because the last part of that verse, the last part in that verse in chapter 5, the Bible says very clearly in verse 19, it says, sing your song. Sing your song. You know what I'm going to do in this world? I'm going to sing my song. Singing is my favorite. Because I'm singing. I'm in church. And I can sing my song. Every one of you, God has given a song. And a song was meant to be sung. Not in alone, but to be shared with everyone. What's your song? My song is, God, I'm just waiting. Some of you single guys, I'm waiting for a girl like you to come into my life. Some of you have had your hearts broken. Your song is, love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Some of you, your song is Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Ain't nothing gonna keep me down. What's your song? Sing and make music in your heart. Sing your song. What are you waiting for? Get up. Rise up. Get your heart going. Sing your song. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? So I close with this. Of all the philosophers, of all the writers I could come up with and muster, I love Rene Descartes. I like Keating. I like Henry David Thoreau said, I walked into the woods and I would not leave until I came out and found that I could live. I wanted to suck all the marrow out of life that I could. I love Henry David Thoreau. But who I really love, and I want to share with you, is Dr. Seuss. That's right, Dr. Seuss and the Apostle Paul this morning to change your life. And he wrote this, people are just waiting. It's called the waiting. People are just waiting. They're waiting for a train to go or a bus to come or a plane to go. They're waiting for the mail to come or the rain to go or the phone to ring or the snow to snow. Or waiting around for a yes or a no. Or waiting for their hair to grow. People are just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite or waiting to fly a kite. Or waiting for a Friday night. Or perhaps they're waiting for their Uncle Jake. Or waiting for a pot to boil or a better break. Or a string of pearls or a pair of pants. Or a wig of curls or just another chance. People are just waiting. But that's not you. And that's not me. Oh no. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip flapping, or once more, you're going to ride high. Ready for anything under the sky. Ready because you're that kind of a guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. And there are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of them all. Fame, you'll be as famous can be. And the whole wide world watching you on TV. Except when they won't, because sometimes they don't. I'm afraid sometimes you'll play ball games alone. Sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not. Alone will be something. You'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There will be some things down the road between hither and yon that'll scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go through the weather, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies will prowl. On you will go through the hack and crack's howl, and onward a frightening creak, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. Trevor, on and on you will hike, and I know you will hike far, and face up to your problems no matter what they are. And Dave, you'll get mixed up, of course, and you already know, because you get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. Be sure when you step, step with great and care and tact. And remember that life is a great, great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous or deft. And never mix up your right foot with your left. And you will succeed. Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. So church, you'll move mountains. So be your name Boxban or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Alley Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So how about we get on our way? Father, I have never seen anybody so scared in my life as when they climb mountains or skyscrapers or balancing beams or tightropes. And yet, God, you call us to get out of our boat this morning. I pray, oh God, I pray that we will rise up from our slumber and change our world. For many in here, it's just safe. God, call us out of that safety and into Christianity. Help us to sing at the top of our lungs, and we will change the world. It's in God's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.